Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, here to bring you the very best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, and plus Bobby Curran. With lots of sports. Seems like there's just so much going on right now, especially in the last couple of days. Well, Happy New Year to all of you. I trust that everyone had a peaceful and happy and hopefully a well-fed New Year. It was certainly a time to enjoy the pleasures of being at home. So we hope all of you had a really good holiday. Personally, I did so much cooking and eating that it's been nice to take a break for a few days and not really go too closely into the kitchen. I don't know if it's possible to kind of bake too much, but I think between COVID and Christmas, it ended up being like a lot of food. We're going to talk to someone this morning, though, who will never get sick of cooking. And I specifically wanted to talk to the chef this morning because over the holidays, I tried my best to perfect something that I've promised the boys I would cook for years, a beef Wellington. And so I did so. I did several, actually. I did lots of practices. But Chef Anthony Rush, who is the co-owner of Senia Restaurant and of the Podsmore, which is soon to open, we will be talking about that, he hasn't just perfected the art of making a beef Wellington. He's taken it into a whole new stratosphere. And so I'm really looking forward to our conversation with him this morning about his passion. And this man really has a passion. If you don't believe me, go and follow him on Instagram at Chef Ant Rush, and you'll see what I mean. His Wellingtons are beautiful. I can't even imagine how long they take. So that's going to be one of my first questions. But and then Bill Tobin is going to join us this morning to chat. I think there's probably no one more qualified to talk about the restaurant industry as it stands currently than Bill. He's the CEO and co-owner of Tiki's Bar and Grill in Waiheke. And Tiki's was absolutely one of those restaurants that just kept going and going and going, provided fantastic service. Tourists loved it. It had a huge following of people who would come back year after year on vacation. And we're going to have a chat with Bill this morning about the lessons from 2020 and what he projects for 2021 for the restaurant industry. So it's going to be a fun conversation this morning. And Bobby, I'm just sort of laughing because you saw and you ate and you were a guinea pig on my beef Wellingtons and my pork Wellingtons over the holidays. But I'm having a chef on this morning who, if you saw his, you would never eat any of my cooking ever again because his is so perfect.
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. I think yours was pretty damn good, actually.
But it's been a lively time in sports, hasn't it?
This is a great, actually, considering all the craziness that's going on elsewhere in the country, it doesn't get a lot better than this. There is fabulous, there's basketball, UH basketball tomorrow and Saturday. There are three NFL playoff games on Saturday, three on Sunday, and the national championship college game on Monday. That's pretty good schedule.
There's barely time to fit anything else in.
It's really good.
Will all of it be at the sort of same level of excitement as pre-COVID, or just the fact that people aren't really actually there take away from the experience?
I think once you get to the playoffs, especially like in the NFL, now, of course, the road games are for Hawaii are without fans. But, you know, you're listening on the radio. How much does that matter?
Right, exactly.
So I think that's not really a factor. But it does, I think, affect the playoff games a little bit, but not as much for viewers as it does for maybe players. Because I think by now they're used to it, and they've also gotten used to the pumped-in crowd noise,
right?
Which is, you know, when you're in a stadium broadcasting, as I have been most recently in Frisco, Texas, that pumped in sound is it sounds more real than you would think,
and it sounds very real coming across the airwaves. Yeah. You wouldn't know that it wasn't live people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course,
I agree.
It is amazing, actually. Like all of last year, people kept talking about how we were pivoting and we were adapting and we were changing, which I think is what we do as human beings. But there's many examples in sports how pretty quickly sports adapted and changed and said, okay, we're still going to be here. It just looks a little bit different. And people are already kind of used to it, yeah?
Yeah, I think people have made an adjustment on it. And what else can you do? I mean, you don't. There's not like you got a ton of choices there. So, to me, it's fans have made the best of it. Teams and coaches have made the best of it. But I just was I mentioned this. I was texting back and forth with Chris Gerlison, who's an assistant coach for UH, and he was
sure.
kind of saying, "Yeah, wish you were here," kind of thing. We were kind of talking about that sort of stuff, and he said, "Hey, wish us smooth sailing up here," because I know everybody's worried every time you take the tests. This is true for football, basketball. You take the test because you know what the conference protocol is. If you have in basketball in the Big West, if you have one positive test, anybody within the program,
trainer, medic, anybody at all,
radio guy, you're down for 2 weeks. The whole program shuts for 2 weeks. So it's kind of huge. So you can bet when they're getting those results back, they're testing this morning. In L.A.
Everyone's holding their breath.
Well, yeah, they won't find out probably till later this afternoon, but you think when they open that envelope, they're not looking pretty darn carefully? I assure you they are, because if it's positive, you're done. You're flying home without having played a game, and then you're not playing.
And so what happens then? Do you forfeit your game? Do you just replay game?
It's canceled.
It's canceled completely.
That's
what
they're doing.
So the other team.
And it's not going to be rescheduled. So it's not a postponement. It's a cancellation. Right. And they're not assigning blame because if this is.
Yeah, it's not your fault.
California. Mm-hmm. As somebody said, you walk out of your house in California, you're at risk.
And then if the teams in California, if one of them tests positive, same thing, game canceled, UH flies home.
Right.
With no fault of anyone's.
No recompense.
Right. So when you think about it that way, it really does put it into a whole different light for the team and the bubble that they travel in. Because it's not like when you all flew to the game in Frisco, which was a true bubble to me. I mean, you didn't even walk into an airport lounge. I mean, you just were in a bubble, the perfect way to travel. Who wouldn't want to,
right.
you know, go around the world like that? But that's just few and far between, isn't it? I mean, people just aren't able to do that.
No, and certainly that's not the case for basketball. Well, maybe it is in the big conferences, but they do.
Not in the teeny weeny ones like
right,
us.
Right, and because everyone's flying commercial, and you know, you're through airports, and then you're going through. You know, they get buses, but we, like if you are us, you're renting a car and then check into the hotel lobbies. And, you know, it's
a lot of interaction.
Well,
yeah,
it is. It's a higher risk deal.
Well, we wish them lots of luck, obviously, and hope that they have a really terrific start to the year. And as you say, it's going to be an action-packed weekend of listening and watching. And I'm sure a lot of people are really looking forward to it after the sort of lull of, well, what's supposed to be a lull over the Christmas holidays. But actually, it seemed like a very busy holiday period to me and to us. Despite the fact that there was sort of no parties and no gatherings, there was like, it seemed that every day was just full. When I look back now, if somebody said to me, oh, you have a day where you don't have anything to do, I'd be like, really? Thank you so much. Anyway, we will look forward to an action-packed year. And what we're going to do right now is, because I'm really looking forward to eagerly anticipating speaking to our guest this morning. So we're going to go and take a quick break, a little early. And when we come back, we're going to be chatting with our first guest this morning, who I know is a big favorite of yours. I know Tiki's Restaurant is a huge favorite of yours. Bill Tobin is going to join us. So stay with us for that. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii with a teeny wee bit of sports thrown in every Thursday morning. And I'm so happy to say that it's more and more sports as we progress, and hopefully through 2021 we will get them all close to normal as possible. We weathered most of 2020, and of course our focus for the entire year from March was on the restaurant industry. We reported as best we could on how well restaurants were doing, how much they needed your help, and how much you helped. There were many restaurants in Hawaii who actually ended the year up doing significantly better than they thought because they were able to adapt and pivot and to change. The restaurants that had the hardest time, of course, were those in Waikiki, which many of you have visited and realized became something of a ghost town from April through June and July. We have, we think, someone who's best qualified to talk about the restaurant industry this morning from all aspects. He's Bill Tobin. He's the CEO and co-owner of Tiki's Grill and Bar. And he's with us today. Hi, Bill. How are you?
How are you?
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I don't hear him.
I don't hear him.
I hear you in an echo.
All right, well, we have our first gremlins of 2021, which is...
That didn't take long.
No, it didn't. It took about 12 minutes, but that's all right. We welcome them and get them out of the way as we go. Maybe he's in a busy area, which wouldn't be in Waikiki. So you haven't been much to Waikiki because you've been really busy
with work
and everything, but I can tell you it's quite alarming. I mean, even with... I think the numbers for tourists coming in towards the end of December are about 9,000 a day. That doesn't even make a dent in Waikiki when you think that in February and March, the beginning of March, there was 32,000 people a day arriving in Hawaii.
Right.
It went down to 1,500 or 1,800 at the very beginning of lockdown, and it's now back up again, 9 or 10. I think that was a sort of boost for Christmas vacation, but hopefully with the vaccine on its way, it will improve. But
it should steadily, I mean, if everything that I have been led to believe about the rollout is true, it should improve almost by the week.
Yes, it should. I think what was surprising was Waikiki did not see the numbers from June, July, August start to climb for various reasons. I think a lot of it was that the spread started in on the mainland again, and people really weren't able to come in and get those vaccinations.
And the quarantine. Frankly, I think the quarantine keeps a lot of people out.
Right, of course. So hopefully it will start. But if you have been to Waikiki, even with 9,000 visitors a day over December, it's barely a dent in what we're used to seeing. I believe we have Bill with us now. Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Hi, Joe. How are you? Sorry about the trouble there with the phone.
No. We're glad to get our gremlins out of the way so early on in the year. That's lovely. Thank you. We were just talking. I mean, there's so many aspects of the restaurant industry that I would love to discuss with you this morning. We want to come at it from a few different angles. But Bobby and I were just saying, for people who haven't been to Waikiki, even with the tourists that are starting to come in now, it's still a fraction of what it was. How has it been just being in that physical environment? I mean, going from a place that was, you know, two or three deep with people on a sidewalk to nothing. What was that like, just mentally?
Well, it's really, being in Waikiki for so long, it reminded me of September 11th, where it was almost a ghost town for two or three days immediately after, and then really slow. But with the difference with COVID is that it's been sustained for months, where you could walk down the streets in Waikiki at 8 a.m. and it would be maybe 10 or 12 people to say hi to, where before COVID there would be hundreds of people, and people getting out, starting their vacations, going to the beach, checking out their breakfast location, and it was really a busy sidewalks, busy cars, looking for parking. Now I can go down to Waikiki and I don't even have to pull in the parking garage or hotel. There's parking on the street. And the only time there's no parking is when good surf days and the local surfers are taking up the parking spots. It's really a huge difference even still.
And as I was saying, even with that kind of little boost in December, a lot of people would think, oh, 9,500 people flying into Honolulu, that's kind of a significant number. It really isn't. I mean, it really doesn't even make a dip. You can go to one end of Waikiki and see that there are people there, but we're still a long way from having everybody come back. You know, let's just go from that, from the streets being so empty to the restaurants being so empty. So the restaurant industry, as we all know, is highly social. A lot of the people who work in the restaurant industry are drawn to it because of its theatrical element, because of the sociability of it, because of the camaraderie of it. I wonder what kind of effect this is having on your staff, not just because their hours have gone and many of them are unemployed, but just the fact that they're just not around that convivial atmosphere anymore. What are you seeing in terms of that effect on the industry?
I can only speak to it for the people that I do see. We do talk to people. We try and keep in contact through phone calls and Facebook, but there are some people that still just don't want to come back to work, whether they're enjoying the benefits of unemployment or if they are scared of COVID. There's a certain percentage of our staff, and not just our staff, other restaurateurs staff, that people just don't want to come back to work. And then the people that do want to come back to work, they're limited to the amount of tables they can take and the social distancing. As with the guests, though, they're very happy about being able to go out to restaurants, they aren't necessarily as jovial or conversant with the staff because they don't want to have to put their mask back on to talk to you. And the staff all have their masks, so they don't have the same facial expressions that you expect. So it's a real different environment.
What would you say? I mean, because you're, when I think of you and what you do in the community, you're not only the CEO and owner of Tiki's. You do so much more in the community, and you're very involved with consulting with businesses and helping people and giving them advice. What are you seeing, Bill, in the industry in terms of owners' resilience, their ability to come back, their ability to change their restaurant model? Are you seeing people still as enthused about it, still as passionate about it? Or do you fear that as 21 starts, we are going to see a lot more restaurants who just say, I can't do it?
You know, it's a very interesting question. And I take a lot of pride in the restaurant industry and restaurateurs in general. We're the type of mentality where the show must go on. There's never a perfect night in the restaurant, and we're used to dealing with some food that maybe didn't go right to the table, or a guest being in a bad mood, or the water turning off, or the power going off, or your point of sale go down. We're used to going through a series of obstacles to get through the day and get through the night. And I think that through COVID, we've seen a lot of grit and resilience through restaurant leaders that is just amazing, and lots of people working together. But you're exactly right. It's wearing on people. We were talking about we had a staff meeting on Tuesday, and we were talking about it's just wearing people down. You can be a hero and a go-getter and really push through obstacles for a certain amount of time, but after a while, the stamina is difficult. And I see people saying, "Yeah, when do we throw in the towel?" I actually was on a call last week, and a guy from California said that, and I said, "You know, even if you do throw in the towel, to me, this is in my blood, and I want if I had to throw in the towel, which fortunately at Tiki's, that's not going to be an issue, but." You bounce back and do it again in another form, or a pivot and finding out what the industry needs. But there are people who are handing their keys to their landlord, and I'm sorry to see that, and it's so heartbreaking because people put their life into this, and it's their child. And when they do, there's tears shed, and it's very difficult.
And I think what a lot of people don't realize, because it isn't their business and it isn't in their blood, is that when a restaurant closes, it's such an emotional ordeal for so many people. I mean, communities, you know, need their restaurants and love their restaurants. But if you're somebody who has grafted your entire life to keep a restaurant going, just the very nature of the fact that you're able to open the door every morning means you have put your life's work into it. There's nobody that runs a restaurant that just goes, oh, great, the restaurant's opening. It's going to be a great day. It just doesn't happen. And I think what I'm seeing, what I'm saddest about, and actually what I'm most concerned about amongst the industry, is a kind of fatigue. It's almost like what you see in soldiers who come back with PTSD. It's like in the moment of it, from March all the way through, everybody was all hands on deck, let's go, whatever we can. Now it's almost, there's a COVID fatigue in many restaurants where the unknown is just a little bit too much. And I do fear that we are going to lose some of our best, most loved restaurants because of that, you know, just that people are just worn out.
Well, I think a big piece of that is that when you think that it's short term and you can get by with, maybe you have a very successful restaurant pre-COVID, but when you open again, you might even be losing money for a few weeks or a few months, and you think, okay, I can do this for a few months, and the fortunate ones break even, but how long do you run a business breaking even when this was how you paid for your home, your rent, and your mm-hmm. your child's tuition and all the different expenses you have? You know, it's a job that's not paying for a lot of people, and you can't sustain that, however passionate you are about the industry.
We're talking with Bill Tobin. He's the CEO and co-owner of Tiki's Grill and Bar in Waikiki, which we're happy to tell you is open for dine-in and takeout. You can see their full menu at tikisgrill.com. And if you want to go and enjoy Waikiki as it still is in all of its beauty and sort of sometimes just very peaceful, amazing place to see, then there's no better place to get a view of the gorgeous water than at Tiki's. Bill, what are some of the things that, I mean, in terms of helping other restaurant owners and business owners in general, what are some of the things that you learned from last year that you're carrying forward into 2021?
Well, I think that we became much more efficient with a lot of our programs. There's no cash to throw at problems, so you solve problems other ways now, and you actually lean on other people when you can, within the industry, it's if you can help me, I can help you, and really working together and goal setting too. I really am passionate about saying, okay, this is what we're working for this week, and looking forward to it, and just taking 1 week at a time until we get past this.
I think that's probably really good advice for a lot of people. If not 1 week at a time, sometimes just one day at a time or one part of your day at a time. It's like focus on what can you do right now and let's just do that.
Absolutely.
What about 2021 as it is now? I mean, you're very involved with the restaurant industry. You, as you've mentioned, you talk constantly with other people in the industry. Are you optimistic? Are you feeling, yes, we're over the worst of it, we're definitely on our way up again? And can you see that for a lot of the restaurants that have survived thus far?
I am optimistic, but my wife will tell you that sometimes I'm a little bit too rosy glasses. But I do see us coming ahead of this, and I do think that for the restaurants that do survive, there's going to be opportunity, one with more market share, obviously, with other restaurants closing, but there's going to be some landlords that will want to fill their spaces, and so there's going to be places to go and still people to feed. And fortunately, what we've seen throughout this is that despite the fear of the virus, there's still a lot of people who want to get out of their homes and go out to eat, and there's even more pent-up demand the longer this goes. So I think we're going to see a good bump when people are going out.
Are there resources that you used or you found or maybe even you created during last year that you could share with people who are listening right now who may be restaurant owners, we know lots of them listen, who may be thinking about starting a restaurant? Are there any things that you found that are really good resources during this time with regards to running a restaurant, opening a restaurant?
Well, I'm going to do a shameless plug here for myself.
Please do.
I created this website a few years ago, but I spent a lot of time with the downtime with COVID helping people with it's a restaurantleadership365.com. It's a website that is really about teaching leaders best practices and sharing resources amongst other peers. And then helping people who maybe didn't have corporate training. When you think of restaurants in general, that 7 out of 10 are independent restaurants. And of those, so when you get your management training at an independent restaurant, it might not necessarily be any formal training. Often people will get handed the keys. And so we're trying to fill that gap of maybe giving people training and teaching them how to be good leaders.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. Restaurantleadership365.com. Please go there and see what Bill is doing. You know, I couldn't agree with your website more and what you're doing more, because I can tell you for the past 25 years with my work in restaurants, I'm astounded at the fact that most restaurants are made up of either really artistic, incredibly creative, beautiful minds, or people who are really good at math and doing paperwork. They are rarely a combination of the two. And I can name on one hand successful restaurants where either a husband and wife are, the husband is the chef, the wife is the bookkeeper, or vice versa, and they're very successful. Most restaurants are made up of people with a dream, a vision, and very little background knowledge of how to actually run a business. And I think what you're doing and what you, I'm sure you will be successful in doing, is teaching people those skills that are absolutely critical. I have never seen a restaurant close because they're serving really horrible food. They close because they haven't understood their lease. They don't understand the cost of a plate of food. It's all those basic things, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the people that do have that training and background, when you talk about numbers specifically, I'm certainly not a creative person, and most of everything I've learned has been through mentors and other people. And I can honestly say that having somebody teach me how to understand the numbers was crucial for my being able to survive in this industry for so long. And I think that it's easy to say I have a great recipe for meatloaf, but it's really, like you say, understanding leases and understanding accounting. It doesn't even have to be, you don't have to be an expert in anything, but you have to have knowledge in a little bit of everything.
Now, can people just contact you through restaurantleadership365.com, or is there another way that they can get in touch with you if they feel that they'd like to work with you and have you mentor them?
I think that's the best way. You can also email me at am I okay to put my email on the air? Is that
absolutely? Go ahead.
Okay, bill@tiki'sgrill.com, or you can text me at 808-201-0550.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Bill Tobin is the CEO and co-owner of Tiki's Bar and Grill in Waikiki. You can find their menu online for dine-in or takeout at tikisgrill.com. And he is the owner of restaurantleadership365.com, where you can go and check out his website and see the work that he's doing. If you're a restaurant owner, who realizes that you're kind of drowning, not waving, there is help out there for you. There are resources. We want to assure you that there are many, many people in the industry who want to help, and a good place to start is with Bill. Bill, it's lovely to chat with you. Thank you so much for coming on with us. As always, I wish we had longer. It's always so good to talk to you.
I enjoy it so much, too. Thank you so much, Joe. Take care.
Take care. Bill Tobin, go check out his website. It is really phenomenal. And you know, the thing about Bill is he is he's not just passionate about restaurants. He's a very trusted, honorable figure in the restaurant industry. And there are many people like that in our amazing industry. But he is somebody, I think, that just inspires trust in people. He really does have the good of a business or a community at his heart. And I can say that having known him for a really, really long time. Anyway, that's that. Now, coming up, I'm really excited to talk to our next guest. So stay with us. If you're kind of a passionate cook, if you're somebody who looks at glossy food magazines, or you sit with your iPad at night and stare at recipes and think, I wish I could do that, Chef Anthony Rush, who's the owner of Senya Restaurant and the soon-to-be-opened Podmore, is the man that you want to hear from. He's so passionate that one of his dishes has become, dare I say, almost an obsession. We'll chat with him when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
This is Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu.
Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii with a wee bit of sports thrown in. If you want to know more about what we do and our work with restaurants, or if you want to just hear some back programs, podcasts, then you can go to our website, mojomcgarry.com, or you can check us out at radiomojohawaii.com, where you'll find a lot of shows. It's interesting to look at the podcasts, you know, because when people go on weekly, which I'm so grateful that so many hundreds and hundreds of people go on and download the show weekly, it's really cool. But some shows have like massive spikes in who downloads them, and I always wonder what the difference is. Is it the heading? Is it the topic? I don't know what it is, but there's like there's the difference between like one show we did recently right before the holidays had like 200 more people look at it than the show the week before. It was really interesting. Well, interesting to me anyway. So we're waiting. We're looking to find Chef Anthony, and hopefully he will remember that we're going to be giving him a call this morning, and I'm sure he will. But it wouldn't surprise me if he was knee-deep in making beef Wellington at his new restaurant. Well, not at the Podmore, because I don't think the kitchen equipment is even in yet, but at Senya. He is, I should actually show you, Bobby, a picture of what I'm talking about, if I can find it on his Instagram, which I can easily because they're everywhere. But compared to what you know as a Wellington, this is what we're talking about as a beef Wellington.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Bobby's face just dropped completely.
That's really looking quite advanced.
It's, I can't hardly describe it. I mean, the pastry is just lattice work, really. To me, it looks like something Moorish. It looks kind of like it's a Moroccan.
I buy that, yeah.
Yeah, it's got so many different colors in it. There's a beautiful design that's a repetitive pattern all over the puff pastry. And I mean, even that sentence is ridiculous. There's a repetitive design in lots of colors on puff pastry. If you've ever worked with puff pastry, it's like got a mind of its own, especially in Hawaii. You touch it and it just starts to stick to your fingers. So the whole thing is really miraculous. And it's just part of what they do at Restaurant Senya, which, of course, is in Chinatown. You guys know exactly where it is, I'm sure. Right before the corner of Nu'u'anu and South King Street.
Where is the new restaurant?
The new restaurant is, I'm glad you asked, is the Podmore building. Now, the Podmore building, you may have walked past for years. It's downtown on the corner of, is it Bishop Street, right opposite the bank? So it's Bishop and King. Is that right? No, that's not right. It's not King Street. It's right on the corner before you get into Alakea Street. It's an old building that used to be a little sort of sundry store, that there was a flower seller outside all the time. There's that little building where Baker Dudes are. The building itself actually has the same stone that the Bishop Museum was built out of.
Oh.
So it's a really old building, and it was originally a restaurant and has been a restaurant many times. So it was one of those kind of fine dining, almost like beautiful tea rooms in the 1920s in Hawaii, and a very well-liked restaurant. So it's really nice that it's returning to its former glory, although having seen the pictures of what it's going to look like, its glory is going to be beyond what it ever has been. So that it'll be a great place once you get back to work to go down for breakfast, or I think it's going to be most popular for cocktails. I think it's going to be awesome. Well, we have, I'm happy to say, we have Chef Anthony Rush joining us this morning. Good morning, Chef. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Happy New Year. I was musing that you were perhaps completely immersed in the zen of making a beef Wellington, and that's why we couldn't get you to answer your phone for a minute.
not out of the moment. No, I was just sitting running around. It's just busy right now.
So yeah, I'm sure you are. I want to talk about the Podmore opening as it's coming up, and of course mention Senya. But I have been waxing lyrical this morning a little bit about your incredible Wellingtons. I'm bordering on suggesting that it's maybe become an obsession. You're so passionate about these. They're so incredibly beautiful. I can't even imagine how you begin to create these things. Tell us a little bit about the process, and also about how did you start developing a beef Wellington from something that has for decades been, you know, beef and a beautiful pâté and puff pastry into what you create today?
You know, I've really enjoyed making Wellingtons for a long time now, and when I look back at the ones I've done when I was in the UK, they were relatively normal. But it wasn't until, you know, we opened Senia, and, you know, I just started playing around with the more of the pastry, really, and the dough that I use. So being in Hawaii, I don't use the traditional puff pastry because it just doesn't work quite as well with the humidity. So I sort of developed another pastry, and then I just started adding flavor to the pastry, you know, rather than just having it plain. And then along with flavor then color came as well. And the color all comes from vegetable juices. Rather than using water in the pastry dough, I use vegetable juices, and that's what gives us its color. I always want to be, you know, go bigger and better each time. It's definitely a process. You know, I find it quite boring to do the same thing day in, day out. So, you know, if I was to make the same design each time, you know, it's a lot of work to be bored by that. So I try to do a different one each time. Just trying to, you know, push the boundaries and have fun with it. I mean, it's not so much, it's for my benefit more than anybody else's, quite honestly, you know, because it is a process. I want to enjoy it. When you finally put that final layer on and it all like just pops and comes together, it's quite gratifying.
I'm just thinking, because you have so much going on. I mean, you have a very successful restaurant, which, congratulations, you were nominated last year as a James Beard Award finalist. You are about to open the Podmore, which in itself has been a huge project, because you've taken basically an old building right back to its roots and started again, and you're creating something truly beautiful. That's enough on anyone's plate. Making something like a Wellington, it's not a fast process. It's not like doing a grilled cheese sandwich deluxe. Is there something relaxing about it? Is it kind of a zen thing for you, almost?
The relaxing part comes when I go get a massage afterwards, because my back is always there. After doing it, like, it is a process, and it does take hours of bending over the countertop doing the detail in which I do. So yeah, the relaxing part comes after, not during. But yeah, it's just the satisfaction of creating something that's never been done before, at least the look of it. You know, and we have fun with the inside too, because we'll switch it out from being beef to venison to lamb, and even fish as well. I mean, I'm going to be doing another fish Wellington next week.
Just to make just to make all the people who are really afraid to just cook a normal piece of fish for overcooking it, you're just going to do one in a Wellington, which we can't even imagine doing. I think
it
it's incredible.
It works really well. Yeah.
I believe you.
It steams the fish, you know. It keeps it nice and moist.
I want to encourage everybody to go and take a look at the pictures that we're talking about. The easiest way, I think, is to go to Instagram at Chef Ant Rush, and you'll see Chef Anthony's posts. You'll also get a little bit of an insight into what's happening with the new restaurant, the Podmore. Can we ask how it's going?
It's going great. It's going really good. You know, all credit to the landlords who, you know, for restoring the building. I mean, it's this beautiful, it's actually a nationally listed historical building on the corner of Merchant and Alakea. And all credit to them for restoring it. You know, they've had to go through a lot of red tape to, you know, with the city to make sure that they maintain that historical look to it. But the inside is really coming along at quite a canter now. So excited because my wife, Catherine, and I have gone through every detail of this, and we're down there almost every day just checking on inches of measurements, you know, and textures of materials that are being used, and we're so excited to show everybody what's what we're putting inside there. And that's just the space. I mean, the food and the drink that's going to come later is another level too, so.
I know it's always difficult because anything can happen at the opening of a restaurant and you can't sort of say, oh, we're opening on this day, but what mm-hmm. is your sort of projected time scale for when the Podmore will open its doors?
It's going to be ready before the world is, I think. that said, you know, we're probably going to wait to open until the world is ready, you know, with COVID and everything. We don't see any point. I mean, Senia is closed currently, and even though we're technically allowed to be open, we haven't been open since March, and we've just been operating a takeout program. Everybody has their opinion about the virus, but, mm-hmm. you know, we're taking it very, very seriously, not just for the safety of our guests, but the safety of our team. We're in a safe place, and that's where we want to be with Podmore as well. So. We'll just open when the time's right, which hopefully will be soon. We're desperately eager to open because we're very excited, and I'm very an impatient person, but mm-hmm. we have to be patient at this time. You know, when you see what's happening in the UK right now, it's pretty scary. So
yes, it really is scary, and I think a lot of people, you know, there's so much going on in the US. People are very focused here, but those of us with our family and friends in the UK, we know that there's a whole other level of seriousness happening. So, yes, I agree with your decision. And it's not like you're not keeping your staff busy, and it's not like you're not doing beautiful takeouts from Senia Restaurant. If you want to see what's happening, seniarestaurant.com, and you can honestly go and follow Chef Anthony on his Instagram at Chef Ant Rush. It's just a joy. I have to say, for me, I get so much pleasure every day in seeing what you've done next, because your perfectionism is joyful. It's not the perfectionism of a chef that's so uptight and you know, so just nuts about his cooking. To me, it just spreads a joyfulness. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
We're not going to prod you on menus for Podmore. I hope that when it's closer to opening, we'll be able to have you join us again. And perhaps, Catherine, I would love for everybody to hear what your beautiful wife has to say about the restaurant industry, because she is a consummate professional, and it would be great to chat with her maybe next time as well. So maybe we can organize that.
For sure. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Chef Anthony Rush is the co-owner of Senia Restaurant, and along with his wife, Catherine Nomura, is the co-owner of the Podmore, which will be open as soon as the world is. I like that. That's really cool. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chef. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chef. Honestly, go follow him. Okay, we've got to go for a break. I'm just in that danger zone of getting in trouble. We'll see you in a minute. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Well, Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. Thank you for being with us this morning. Hope you enjoyed our conversations with two really terrific people in the restaurant industry. Go and check them out at their websites. If you are a restaurant owner and you really feel that you need that little extra bit of kind of admin help, running your business help, then certainly Bill Tobin has some fantastic ideas and resources, and I thoroughly recommend that you go check him out at his website. And when you go and find our podcasts, if I know a lot of you aren't able to sit for an hour in the morning and listen to the whole show, but on our podcast we always have links to everything we've spoken about during the show. So that's links to restaurant websites, to menus, and to anything that we've referenced. So that will all be there later on this morning. If you go to Radio Mojo Hawaii or mojomcgarry.com, you'll be able to find all of them. It's made me, talking to Chef Anthony, it's made me want to go and try another Wellington. But the one thing I didn't ask him was what kind of pastry he's using, because he's not using puff pastry. And I knew he couldn't be, because it's too impossible to work with. So basketball is coming up, two games. One today, one on Saturday.
No, no. One Friday.
One tomorrow.
And one Saturday.
Okay. Oh, usually it's Thursday, though, isn't it?
It's all, everything is off.
There is no new normal.
It was Thursday and Saturday. Now it's Friday and Saturday.
Oh, okay. Isn't that a bit more tiring for players? Don't they need a rest?
No, because you practice on the off day anyway.
Oh, okay.
Most coaches try to make practices harder than games.
Okay. Are you hopeful? I mean, COVID aside, all of the other things that could go wrong aside, how are we looking?
I think this team is going to be really interesting. They're long, they're athletic, they have good shooters, they have a lot of depth in the backcourt. I think they'll be good. What they don't have is a ton of time with each other, because mm-hmm. they haven't been able to practice. They've only been practicing now for 5 weeks, and they've only played two games. To give you an example, the top teams in the conference have played 9, 8, and 8 games so far, and Hawaii's played 2, and neither of them were against Division I opponents.
Oh, yeah, so that you can just see right away how tough that is.
That's tough.
No question. But I'm sure they'll prevail. I'm sure they'll do extremely well.
I think will they do well right off the bat? I don't know, but I think eventually they will be a good team and will do well.
And then which is the one that you're most looking forward to, or you think is going to be the best one to watch?
I think there's going to be ones that are interesting to watch. Let's put it that way. I think Tampa Bay and Washington will be interesting. I think the Los Angeles Rams and Seattle will be particularly interesting. I think there's a couple I don't think will be interesting. I don't think, for example, New Orleans and Chicago.
That's what I was really getting to.
Will be
I like to hear what you don't really get excited about watching.
I have big disagreement with Tanner, because Tanner is actually picking Chicago to win outright, and they're a 10-point underdog, which is huge in the NFL. That's a big underdog. He thinks they're going to win outright, so we'll see.
And you just think that's going to be boring, is that the
No, thing? I don't necessarily think it'll be boring, but I don't think it'll be terribly competitive. That's just my thought. I could be wrong.
You could be wrong. You have been wrong occasionally.
Yeah, sometimes drastically so.
I would say you're more right than wrong, though.
I would, too.
Although I will tell you one thing I've noticed, and I don't know if it's just the nature of men or sports people or whatever, but you can be right 9 times out of 10, and I don't generally hear people go, hey, you were right. And then you could be wrong once, and you get like 6 people going, well, you're wrong on that one, Bobby.
Yeah, people enjoy that. Yeah, they really enjoy letting you know when you've been wrong.
You think they just enjoy letting you know when they've been wrong? Or I think men in general?
I think they generally enjoy letting people know when they've been wrong, actually.
I shouldn't generalize, should I, about anyone nowadays?
To me.
All right. Well, we wish a good weekend for sports, especially for our basketball team. I want to thank our guests who joined us this morning, Chef Anthony Rush of Senia Restaurant and the Podmore, and of course Bill Tobin, who is the owner and CEO of Tiki's Grill and Bar. Thanks to all of them. Thanks to Bobby for joining us to talk a bit about sports. I'm Joe McGarry. We'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.
Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu was brought to you by Pieology Pizzeria and by Southern Glazer's Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.